And greetings, friends. Welcome to Tomorrow's World program, where we give you the real plain truth about soon coming events and what you should be doing. Last week, I answered the question, does God exist? For there really is a personal God, a real God. How should we relate to the real God of the Bible? What way of life will guarantee your entrance into eternal life? How should you truly walk with God? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in Tomorrow's World. This week, Roderick C. Meredith explains how to walk with God. And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, I grew up in a typical Protestant church. I had about 25 fellows that I ran around with from all over our city. I loved these guys. I spent hundreds of hours with them, and we talked about everything. We went out at night, many, many hundreds of nights, I guess, in Carter McKee's station wagon, and we went to Lover's Lane and checked up on the bad guys. We did this and this out all over the countryside. We had fun in Ducky McPherson's car, a lot of fun. We went out fishing, and Jimmy Porter and I often went fishing, going out in his car to Shoal Creek, and fished, and we did many other things. We were wrestling out in the moonlight, Hal Richardson and I, and we had this vacant lot nearby, and I think it's still there in my hometown. On the Bermuda grass, we wrestled and wrestled, kind of testing each other as young fellows do, out under the moonlight in long summer evenings back in Missouri. We drove down to the University of Arkansas with Jack's dad, and we saw the University of Arkansas football team. And in that old stadium, which was smaller, I think, than the present stadium, but they all got together in the evening, and it was dark, and it was kind of spooky down there, and they would say, "Sue Pig!" And they'd scream that out, the Arkansas Razorbacks playing football. We went to Sunday school with Mr. Blank, and he taught us a whole bunch of things, but he didn't really teach us the truth of the Bible. It was kind of vague. And Dr. Blank gave nice, general, poetic sermons and often read from old prayers. You could see his eyes going back and forth reading these very oratorical prayers. But I could watch that and sense he was just reading. Very nice man, but talked nothing about prophecy, nothing about the real purpose of human existence, and nothing really that made much sense to me or stirred me to action at all, or the other guys. So after the beer busts, after the guys would get, you know, sometimes a little loaded, and they would begin to talk, they would admit, all 25 of them, that God was not real to them. And they would ask me, what's going on? They knew I was hearing a man on the radio who made sense out of the Bible. And he described specific prophecies that began to happen. He made sense out of the Bible and a whole way of life. He began to help me to really understand and to want to study the Bible as never before. I found that true Christianity goes way beyond just believing in Jesus. People get sentimental about that. I know it. They're sincere. But true Christianity involves far more than just, quote, giving your heart to the Lord, end quote, and getting sentimental about the name Jesus Christ, pronounced, I guess, Jesus Christo in Spanish and other ways of pronouncing it. Just knowing that name and without understanding what it's all about doesn't help too much when you really understand. True Christianity involves obedience to the God of creation. True Christianity involves surrendering to let the Christ of the Bible live His very life in you through the Holy Spirit. For those of you who want to follow me, and I hope you will, check up on me. Find what we're saying is in the Bible. Turn to Galatians 2 and verse 20 in your New Testament. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul was inspired by God to write, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I found that we're literally to follow Christ's example in a lot more ways than many of you realize. It's not just a matter of being sweet or doing goods. We all ought to do those things, but we've got to learn to do the same things Jesus did in the way we worship God. Because Jesus said, as you know, that the first commandment, the great commandment, as he said back in Matthew chapter 22, was to love the eternal your God with all your heart and strength and mind. And God tells us how he wants us to worship him. God tells us what kind of people we should be, to be true Christians. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 4, talking of Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Yes, Christ was the light. We ought to follow that light, not just say we believe in him, we love him, we give our heart to him in a kind of a general way, getting sentimental, but we are to follow that light. Notice verse 9. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. He'd been the Logos, the one through whom God made the worlds in the beginning, as God tells us in this passage. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The Jewish people were not being called as a whole nation at that time. They did not understand. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The word name in Hebrew and in the Greek language means not only just the designation of an individual, it means everything that person stands for. It means his character, his personality, his office, his what he stands for. That's what it's talking about, like a father back in ancient England or perhaps New England in the United States might tell his sons in a small city 200 or 300 years ago. He'd say, son, you'd better quit running around, getting drunk, beating up on people. You're bringing reproach on our name. In other words, if the man had a hardware business, the business would go down because his character, his reputation, everything he stood for would be damaged by what his sons were doing, bringing reproach on what he stood for, on his name. How do you respond to the name of God? Do you really follow what that name stands for? Do you understand what the name of Jesus Christ really stands for? Most of you have never been taught that. You're sincere. Most of your ministers are probably sincere. But God is not trying to call the whole world right now, believe it or not, or he would do it. He is Almighty God, El Shaddai. Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Spirit of the Father draw him. That's in John 6 and verse 44. And God is not drawing everyone yet, or he would be doing it. The whole world would be converted. What does it all stand for? What does Christ's name stand for? What is true Christianity all about? The Apostle Paul knew. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here Paul said, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. To really imitate one means that you try to do everything they did, not watering this down and changing that and so forth. What day did Christ keep as a holy day every week? What were the annual holy days he kept? How did he love people, serve people? How did he live day by day and hour by hour? Think of these things. Now I praise you, Paul continued, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions as I delivered them to you. My friends, picture all these different churches all claiming to follow Christ, yet they're all different, and they have different traditions, they have different doctrines and different ideas and ways. Very few literally try to imitate the Christ of the Bible. They do not get it. They do not understand. Turn to 1 John. This is the writing, the letter of John, way back just before the book of Revelation. And here is, again, a letter coming directly from the favorite disciple, Jesus' friend. 1 John chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, John says, we know about Christ. We literally handled him. We helped him in and out of the big fishing boats. We helped pull him up the hill, or he reached down with his strong arm and helped us climb these hills around Israel there. We know him. He was not some disembodied spirit or some idea or some projections of some invisible spirit out there. He was a human being, and we know him. The life was manifested, and we have seen, John wrote, we the original apostles, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, we can have fellowship with God, but we must have fellowship with God by walking as Christ walked, as we will see. We know God, we are aware of Him, we literally walk with Him, talk with Him, fellowship with Him by going that way. And so our fellowship with one another, if we're in the true Christian church, must be through God and through Christ living within us. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we've heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. My friends, God is perfect light. He's wonderful. He's the giver of every good and every perfect gift. But He's the one who loves us, who made us in His image. He wants us to be like He is someday. And so we're to walk with Him and to reflect His character and to reflect Jesus Christ in every possible way. There is no darkness at all in God. He didn't water things down. Christ didn't partly obey the Father. He didn't partly keep the commandments. He fully walked with God with all of His heart. And so should you, and so should I. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Christ's blood continues to clean us up. He goes on to show, yes, we still do have sin, but Christ cleans us up, and we grow in grace and in knowledge. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. We have to ever more perfectly walk with God and walk with Christ through His Spirit within us. And that's the whole thing. If we truly will be willing to do what Christ did, to let Him live in us, then God can fashion and mold us and make us His full sons in eternal life in the kingdom of God, which is really the family of God. God wants us to be His sons, to bear His name. Think about it. Back in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 now, verse 3. Now by this, John writes, we know that we know Him, we know Christ, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Yes, we're to keep God's commandments, and God tells us that over and over in the Bible. But whoever keeps His word, we're to keep God's word. We're to live by every word of God. Truly the love of God is perfected in Him, and by this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He, Christ, walked. We're to walk as Christ walked. We're to keep God's commandments. And God and Christ both gave those commandments. Frankly, Christ was the Word, the spokesman of the Old Testament, who gave the Ten Commandments, acting for the Father as the Logos from the top of Mount Sinai. Which day did Jesus observe as the weekly Sabbath? Do you really know? Do you realize it makes a big difference to God? Which annual holidays or holy days did Jesus actually observe? Again, do you realize it makes a huge difference to God? 1 John 3, verse 22. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's how our prayers are much more readily answered, if we really do keep the Ten Commandments and walk with God. Your entire concept of God is vitally affected by whether you will surrender your life to do what your Creator actually commands, or whether you insist on your own way, on an empty faith just in the person of Christ, which is often a false Christ, not the Christ of the Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 6 now, my friends. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus said, and do not the things which I say? In other words, He's indicating clearly, Christ is not your Lord unless you do what He says. And He says over and over to keep God's commandments and to let Christ live within you, literally. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for some of the most important pieces of information you will ever receive. Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. This course explains the genuine answers to the true meaning of life itself. It explains the key prophecies of the Bible and what lies just ahead. So if you really want to walk with God, the true God, and fulfill His purpose, there is no other literature on earth more helpful than Tomorrow's World Bible Study Course. So write or call now and request your free enrollment. Just ask for the study course. Do it today. Now back to our topic, how to walk with God. Remember, we were at Luke 6, verse 46, where Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus wants us to learn to do the things He said. We're to do what God tells us to do. We can say, "We believe in you, God. We love you, God. We love Jesus, but we won't do what you say. We'll just live our own way of life and just act like you and all the rest of your Bible does not exist." That's not the way to love God. Again, let's get real about God. He is the Creator. He's the Master. He's the Boss. You must learn to do what God commands, my friend, or you will have no part with Him in eternal life. You want to really understand that. Let's turn to Matthew 5 now, if you would. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what the real Jesus Christ of the Bible tells us. Matthew 5, verse 17. He said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Many Christians have been taught that Jesus came to do away with the law. He came to nail the law to the cross, and not one verse in the Bible says that. Nowhere does the Bible say that. "Don't think that," he said, "for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Have you been taught to obey even the least of God's 10 commandments? Or have you been taught just believe in Jesus, just love Him, have emotion about Him? You need to ask yourself, what does the Bible say? And you need to ask yourself, which Jesus have you learned about? The Jesus of the Bible or some other Jesus? Turn to Matthew 5 now and verse 27. "You have heard of old that you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart." Jesus, you see, said you're not to break the commandments. You're not to kill, as he explained here a little earlier. But you're not to hate either. You're not only not to commit adultery, he says here in verse 28, you're not even to look on a woman, to lust for her. Even lust, even the spirit of the law is to be kept. That makes the law all the more binding. That certainly doesn't do away with the Ten Commandments. It means you're to keep them in your heart, in reality, even in the way you think. Notice in Matthew 7 now, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You who teach about a God that you come up with in your imagination, but you do away with God's law. And many sincere people unwittingly follow a doctrine of lawlessness. And many teachers advocate breaking the fourth commandment by at least their actions. They show that we're to observe pagan holidays instead of God's true holy days. They observe the day of the sun and not God's commanded Sabbath that Jesus and all the apostles observed. They may be sincere, but they're not doing what Christ did at all. Notice Matthew chapter 15 here, verse 12. His disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Something he just said to them. And sometimes I offend other preachers because I preach the truth. I don't just try to follow along with the mainstream, as you know. But Jesus answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Will you follow the blind, my friends, or will you learn to follow the Christ of the Bible? Not the Christ of men's imagination, but the Christ of the Bible. What did the Bible say? What did Christ say, the real Christ, about gaining eternal life? Turn over to chapter 19 now, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." That's what Jesus said. That's what the Son of God said. That's what the Bible says over and over and over from one end to the other, and it was never done away. Keep the commandments. And he said, "Which?" And Jesus then began to name some of the Ten Commandments. Again, don't just keep one commandment, keep all ten. No one had authority to do away with any one of the commandments. Who was given authority to do away with the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Who was given authority to do away with God's holy days? Because God has holy days beginning with the Passover in the spring that go right through the year and show us the whole plan and purpose of God. And people and churches that do away with those holy days do not understand that plan. And people and churches that do away with the Sabbath day do not understand, of course, the real God of creation, because the Sabbath points to the God of creation. And Christ did not abrogate the Sabbath. Paul did not abrogate the Sabbath. He kept it. If he tried to do away with the Sabbath, as some try to teach, there would have been an uproar. Remember, they accused Paul of doing away with circumcision, and there was a great uproar. How much greater an upset, how much greater riots, in fact, would have occurred in Jerusalem if Paul and the early Christians had tried to do away with one of the very Ten Commandments of God. You can't imagine the uproar that would have occurred. So we do need to understand. Now let's go on now. We need to understand that the Sabbath points to the creation, and it points to the true God. And it points to the millennium, because it's the seventh day, and it points to the 7,000-year period. When men fail to observe this test commandment, somehow God never becomes real to them. 1 John 2, verse 4, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments," plural, "is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Men may know about God. They do, many of them, the religious leaders and people, but they do not truly know God unless they surrender to God and learn to experience what it's like to walk with God and let the true Christ of the Bible live his life in them. And that true Christ will observe the true Sabbath, as he always did. He'll keep all ten of the Ten Commandments. He'll observe God's holy days, and he then, based on that, will live a whole way of life based on the Ten Commandments in you, telling you how to love God, how to love your neighbor. What is the true faith of the saints? Let's turn back to the book of Revelation now, Revelation chapter 12. Notice verse 17. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Yes, the true saints of God keep the commandments of God. Notice now Revelation 14, verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Not just faith in Jesus, but the very faith of Jesus. Finally, my friends, we must let Christ literally live his obedient life within us if we're to truly walk with God. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ will live within us. Christ set us an example on obeying his Father's great spiritual law, the Ten Commandments. It's an entire way of life that works. Remember Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And remember my favorite scripture, Galatians 2, verse 20. Christ must live within us, and he will live within you through the Holy Spirit, if you want to really love God, if you want to truly attain eternal life. You will let him do it. You will surrender to do it. This is the powerful difference between dead works and living works. This is the powerful difference between dead faith and living faith. May God help you to understand, and may God help and inspire you to call now and enroll in this vital, important Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. Again, your enrollment is free upon your request, so call now. Don't put it off. And tune in every week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.